The Burrito Radio Show is brought to you by 2B1 Entertainment.
For those in search for inner peace, stop by Sacred Sun, Essentials for Life Balance. Just a short walk from the La Mesa Trolley. Visit us at 8239 La Mesa Boulevard or call us at 619-467-7073 for more details. We're open from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Tuesdays through Saturdays, and we hope to see you soon.
Welcome to another edition of the Burrito Radio Show. This is your host, 2B1 Energy, back with you once again. I'm out here in sunny California, right here in Southern Cal, close to the border. But my guest is all the way out there in Gary, Indiana. He has what I call some laughing medicine skills. He makes you laugh a lot. His name is Walter Ford, all the way from Gary. Walter Ford, welcome to the show.
Thank you, man. I'm so glad to be here. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Got it. And tell me real quick. I'm not trying to brag or anything because this is where I was born and raised in Southern California. But what's the weather like out there in Gary currently?
It's not too bad, man. Global warming is not a joke. So right now it's currently about, 58
degrees, which is a little bit more warmer than what normally.
Growing up around this time, it was usually between -5 and -20. So I'm liking this right now.
Hey, so tell us a little bit about yourself, Walter. You were born in Gary?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I was born in Gary, Indiana, to the lovely parents of Rhonda Renee Ford and Quinn McNutt. Whatever his middle name is. So, yes, I was raised in Gary, Indiana. People that don't know, this is the home of Michael Jackson. Shout out. And all the Jackson, I guess. It's also a beautiful, amazing place. Birds chirping, crickets singing. It's just everything you can imagine.
Where you said crackhead singing? You're crazy, man. You're crazy. Okay, I tell you what, I passed by through there just recently on a bus trip, and I was kind of like weirded out. Even though I came in through the day, it was like about 6, 7:30 early, you know.
Yeah,
but it was just kind of like one of those towns like you just want to keep on getting on, keep on going because it don't seem like it's too safe if you don't know nobody.
Exactly. Let's just say you keep rolling. from 92. Until about 98, Gary, Indiana was the number one murder capital of the United States. People didn't know that. And you know it goes by per capita, of course, but per capita, they were number one. Ironically, I was born in 1992.
So, really?
As soon as I was born, murder started. I believe there.
So how does one avoid, so growing up out there, how does one avoid, you know, the things that go on? Like, we know it's not everybody, but how does somebody stay away from that?
To be honest with you, it's super cliche, and I didn't really realize it until I became an adult. But what I think steered me in a different direction than a lot of my counterparts was I found a purpose and I went towards it. I didn't have an awareness of that, though, but when you stand for something or you have something that you have things that you can lose, then you tend to not make decisions that don't go towards your best interest.
Right. Tell us a little bit about how you grew up out there in Gary, as far as like, you know, a little bit about your education.
Yeah, that's no problem. Okay.
So, what high school you went to?
So I went to two high schools. Ironically enough, but to prerequisite that, I was raised by my mother and my grandmother. So I want to put that out there to like single parents, single women, shout out to y'all. My mother battled with bipolar and schizophrenia since she was 19 years old. So from that time until she passed away last year, she would go in and out of a mental hospital. She didn't give birth to me until she was 28. So this was like almost 9-10 years before I was even in the picture. Right. She didn't think she could have kids. She went to the doctor. They was like, too much pregnant. She was like, oh.
Yeah. It was like a miracle. Baby.
Exactly. came to the world. My father was an alcoholic. That song, Papa Was a Rolling Stone. That was him. He's from Vegas.
Yeah, but you had your grandma, I guess you said your grandma, right?
I did have my grandma. So he lived in Vegas. He had 3 kids in the Midwest, moved back to Vegas. When my mother would, she had medication. And when she would, I guess, relapse or fall off the medication or get too stressed, she would have to stay in a mental hospital on average for about 1.5 to 2 years. And in that meantime, I would be taken care of by my grandmother, who I think I took a lot of stuff from. Actually, I got my funny from her. My mama's funny, but granny is like really funny.
Right. Definitely. She gave me a lot of material.
Yeah, she gave me all the material. But she worked all the time. She was the reason I learned about hard work. Since I was born, all I've known her to do is work 12 hours a day, 8 to 8, Monday through Friday, got a second job, and she took care of 8 to 9 people in her house all at one time, and nobody paid her rent or bills or food or nothing.
What you call a strong woman right there.
And let me, you know, I don't want to put her business out there, but she got her degree at 40 while getting abused in a marriage, raising 5 kids. And working a full-time job and going to school full-time.
That's definitely showing some resiliency. So let's advance a little bit. You went to which high school to give you like your path? I noticed on your Facebook page, it says that you went to Ball State University.
I did. So I went to 2 high schools. I went to Calumet. I was a class clown, got kicked out, went to West Side, the best side. And, once I went there, my mother moved into the school district of Calumet. I went back to Calumet, graduated. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what to do with my life, if I could be honest, like a lot of young kids. My counselor said, what do you like to do? I said, talk. She said, well, Ball State has got the David Letterman building. So it's the top 5 radio TV broadcasting school. I said, all right, I'll go there. It's close enough to Gary where I can reach people, but it's far enough from Gary where I won't know nobody.
Right. Well, Ball State is where? Just for the audience.
Sorry, Ball State is located in Muncie, Indiana. It's, if you look on the map, it's between like but F nowhere. It's just like in the middle of nowhere.
Is it going towards Indianapolis in the opposite direction?
So
like is it on East Indiana?
It's what you would call East Central Indiana. So where Gary, Indiana is, for people that are not familiar with Indiana, Gary, Indiana is 30 minutes from Chicago. It's almost as you can get. So it's touching the lake, and it's also on the border of Illinois. Indianapolis is kind of in the middle of the state. Muncie is, I guess you could say, diagonally in the middle and to the east of both of those. It's kind of in the middle. So it's like a halfway mark between Gary and Indianapolis. But it is in the cornfield.
It's definitely a college town.
100% college town. So Muncie, the town, is like 70,000 or something like that. And the Ball State is 40,000. So the college is a third of the town. And let's just say teeth are optional in that town, too. So it's not too fun.
It's all, I mean, like I said, I mean, like, you know, from what I was told, I mean, it's a very highly accredited university.
Yeah, no, Ball State is awesome. I will never, never regret anything I did. And the reason I do comedy is because I went to Ball State University. 100%.
Okay, so how did you get involved in comedy? When did you start, like, actually trying to do it as a professional?
Yeah, so the grassroots, like, the first little thing, when I went to Ball State, a week before I went to school, I watched a movie called American Pie Beta House. So I never watched American Pie before. And in this movie, Stifler was the dude. He threw all the parties and everybody knew him. He was cool, whatever. I said, I'm going to be the Black Stifler. Right.
So you would go to the parties and be the Black Stifler from the character, but just do it in your own way.
I threw the parties. I did one better. So I made it my mission. I threw the biggest parties in the state of in Ball State and in the state of Indiana for about 2 years.
Right.
House parties, and I would do venue parties. So in Indiana, we can't party outside like y'all do, you know, so we have to rent a building and go in the building and dance and, you know.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Bring the heaters inside.
Exactly. Get it's snow outside. Going. We ain't twerking. Ain't nobody twerking on the icicles. So, but the reason I bring that into the whole story, every day I would go and I would meet, hey, my name is Walter Ford. I throw the best parties. Come to this party. Hey, I'm Walter Ford. I go to the best parties. Now, doing that over repetition, over years, about a year and a half, I gained what you would call the gift of gab, I guess you could say. You know, you let's say you find right. a way to get people to. And I learned that I had an uncanny ability to connect people. On April 1st of 2015, my friends, I got kicked out of Ball State. I was going to Ivy Tech, which is our community college, from throwing parties. Let me say that. I party too much. But I had a friend that set up the events on campus and a friend that went to the school. My friend that set up the events on campus let me use my friend's identification number. And I signed up for right. the open mic. It was a comedy show open mic. It was three people that did it. Me, the host, and one of my very friends named, I can't think his name right. His name is Jordan, but I can't think his last name. He got a basketball player name, and I can't think of it. But anyway, the other two dudes did okay. I went up there and told a random story, and everybody loved me, started clapping, standing ovation. And I said, you know what? I think I might do this. That was in front of about 12 people, and then I got the itch. I got the itch.
Now, when you did your first one, did you write it out, or was it just all from the top?
I wrote down some phrases, maybe, like ideas, and I just went from the top. I just told a funny story about my life. And I was like, man, this is kind of like this. It's something, and I think any entertainer can vouch for this. When you get that immediate feedback, it's like a euphoric, endorphinated mode that you just can't describe. And I felt that for the first time. I was addicted, man. It was like my crack. It's my crack.
Right. And next thing you know, it just started flowing. It's been flowing ever since.
I started doing a couple open mics in Indiana. You have to really want to do it. The open mic in my town was on Tuesday. I had to drive an hour and a half to Purdue on Wednesday to do an open mic. I drove 2.5 hours. Now, remember, this is there and back. 2.5 hours on Thursdays to go to Indiana University. And on the weekend, I would drive to Indianapolis, which is about 45 minutes, to do open mics and shows. I did that for about 2 or 3 years, or about 2 years. I got into a real low part of my life, like we all do. I listened to a book called Think and Grow Rich. I figured to help my mother, who has bipolar and schizophrenia, to make Gary not the sixth most dangerous city in the United States, and to make my daughter proud, and to be able to take care of her.
Okay, that was the first time you mentioned anybody of any children. So you had a relationship in college with your...
My bad, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I'm just saying, you had a relationship in college because you didn't mention it.
Yeah. So I did have some relationships. Me and the mother of my child were not, I guess you can say, we were courting, but we weren't boyfriend, girlfriend. It was a miscommunication situation where she didn't necessarily know who the father was, and the other father didn't want to be in the situation. And to make a long story short, she made the decision to give the child up for adoption. But I was unbeknownst to me, I didn't know that it was my child. And
because it wasn't like it wasn't like everything went smooth. Like
no, not at all. My brain.
It was like a little bit more some mistrust, conniving, whatever you want to call it, right?
Exactly, miscommunication. I just want to chalk it up to that miscommunication. And
miscommunication. And so real quick, you put this in your comedy routine, because I know Richard Pryor used to talk about his life, and everybody thought he was joking, but he was really
100%, 100%, 100,000%. The reason Richard is one of the greatest is because he took all of his crazy experiences and delivered them and expressed them in the most humanistic way. So no matter your race, color, creed, sexual orientation, the political party, whatever, you can agree with what he's saying because you're human. And I 100% talk about my entire life. I'm an open book. Open book, you know, to read.
I got you. Hey, Walter, we're going to take a quick break into action. We're going to come back with you and discuss a little bit more about, you know, your current situation as far as, like, you know, as well as some of the topics that you talk about on when you're doing your
college. Awesome.
Okay. All right. We'll be right back after these short messages.
For over 100 years, San Diego Shade has been covering windows all over San Diego County. Whether you want roller shades, cellular shades, shutters, you're looking for an automated awning to go over your patio, you want some exterior roller shades to block the sun out, we're the company to go to. We're located conveniently in Miramar area at 7354 Trade Street. You can reach us on the phone at 619-287-8863. You can also check out our website at sandiegoshade.com. I look forward to covering your windows soon.
Are you in need of legal representation? Affordable at that? It is very possible with Legal Shield. For more information, contact Candace Howard at candacehoward.wearelegalshield.com. Again, that's candacehoward.wearelegalshield.com. Can't wait to talk to you.
This is the Poodle Dog Mom
and T-Dog,
and you're listening to the Burrito Radio Show.
To Be One has a game called None is Perfect Billiards. It is a game based on points, stroke play, pretty much. You get to find out what your score would be in comparison to the pros. It's one of the better games that's out there, and it's new and fresh for the 21st century. If you'd like to be on the players list or participate in one of the games or videos, contact None is Perfect Billiards at nipbilliards@gmail.com. Get on the players list and take part in the fun today.
Hello, this is Ricky Elliott. I work under the umbrella of Primerica. And what we do is we teach families to earn more income, become properly protected, debt-free, and financially independent. My contact information is 619-867-1053.
Hi, this is Marcos Carvajal. I'm the author from Behind the Stick. I wrote a book about growing up addicted to gambling and playing pool and hustling. And you can find this book on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. And I wrote this story to explain to you how the addiction to gambling can lead to other things other than just playing pool, and what your pitfalls and strongholds are. So I wrote this mainly for my children, but I hope you can enjoy this book. Thank you.
Yes, 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 y'all. Home of the house parties, or not just the house parties, the house music, the house everything, right? Out there in the Midwest, Gary, Indiana,
yes,
right?
Sir. House music.
All right. So you're part of the house party, house music crew back in the days, it really got a bump.
The real house music, not what they call them now. Not that new. No, not that.
No. So who's some of the house? Who's some of the house? So if you had to say some of the artists or albums, or you know, some people, some mixes, who do you like?
As far as house music? If I could tell you their names, I would lie to you. I don't even know their names, if I could be honest.
But you just threw the parties, and you got everybody to make sure the parties
are going. Yes, 100%, 100%. Now, with the house music mixes, it's a lot of famous DJs. I don't know their names specifically. But when I was in the house party scene, we went more kind of towards like party and music. You know, we were kind of young, so we were more like a twerking age era, kind of in my college.
Yeah. I got you. If anything, Walter, I noticed on your Facebook page that you are really heavy into sales. Touch on that real quick about your sales experience.
Okay. I think that being a comedian gives me a little advantage. I pretty much can sell anything not nailed to the floor. I've just been in so many different retail. Let me say this. My first job has been retail, and I've pretty much been mostly retail since then. Anything from K Jewelers to I was the manager of Lids at 21. I've worked at gyms, sold insurance. I was the manager of a store in Fashion Valley.
So, in other words, when you're doing sales, you're meeting a lot of people, you're charming them, you're really getting your experience as a comedian. You're honing your skills with these sales.
It literally is the exact same for me. If a master salesman would come up now, they would tell you to take a comedian class right now to be able to help your sales. Two reasons. Laughter sounds good in every language. Well, the only thing that sounds good in every language is your name and laughter. So my bad, I said it wrong. That's universally connects. The second thing, the easiest way to connect with people is to be human. The most human is funny.
What about garlic?
Like your breath stank?
Well, I mean, like, you know, garlic.
I thought you meant like your breath smelled like garlic. No, you're right. Garlic is universal. No, I agree with that.
No, I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. So the sales thing really helped you out in like not just like, you know, learning about people. You're like pretty much learning.
And my stand-up, it translates into stand-up in the way that comedy is a formula. Sales, or I guess you could say any sales or anything like that, it's a formula. You have to build rapport. You have to make people comfortable. You have to inform, and then you have to close the sale, or you have to get out of there, or, you know, comedy is the same way. You bring people in, you get them familiar with them, you get them comfortable, and then you end them off on a twist, and they leave smiling. And
right. Let's talk about some of the material you discuss on stage. What kind of material do you bring up?
It's really transformed over the years. Right now, I think I'm finally coming into my, what we call, I guess you could say your voice, your comedic voice. And now I pretty much just talk about my real life experiences from a black man named Walter from Gary, Indiana, that moved from Indiana to California and was homeless for a year, that went through domestic violence situations with a mother with a mental illness, blah, 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 growing up in a very dangerous city. And
so what you utilize these experiences and you really heal yourself in a comedy form?
Yes, 100%. This is my therapy, and I think most comedians can vouch for this too. Some people got to go see a shrink. Some people see medicine. We get a microphone. I skipped the whole part. In college, I adapted I adapted an anxiety disorder, which I believe I got from my mother from trauma as a young kid or anything like that. And the comedy
literally helped get that out or helps release. It's literally that release, being able to get up there.
Right.
And when you say things and when you get them off of your chest, you don't have to do it in front of a microphone. Like I said, some people do writing, journals. Some people do therapists. Some people do, you know, and this is my therapy. And I feel like it's God's gift to me that I'm here to share.
Now, how raw do you keep it? Do you keep it as raw as you can, or do you kind of hold back a little bit for the cause of, you know, just for the sake of, like, you know, you're not really trying to blow people's mind out? Like,
I call it classical raunchy. Classical.
What do you call it? Classical raunchy.
Yeah, because
I
try to. Let me just say, I'm 100%. Like, I will be totally blunt. You know, about like Trump, F Trump, if you get down with him. I respect people's views, you know, just my own personal opinion. All of my ideas, I make sure I come from a place of knowledge, research, and understanding. And I talk about anything across the board, from current situation of like racism in America and prejudice and the government up until the black family, the white family, just everyday life, human situations.
How do you handle the catcalls?
That's actually really good. That's a really good question. It's situational, but what you do is you pretty much take the control of the room back, because at the end of the day, you have the microphone and they don't, and all you do.
Right.
Okay, so just to anybody that doesn't know,
if you go for- so here's a good example. Let me interject real quick, Walter. I know, like, somebody like a Red Fox or Eddie Murphy or somebody like even Richard Pryor, catcallers, they will just start bagging on them right away. Like, they just have instant jokes with these people to kind of embarrass them. Like, step
exactly.
back. This is my stage. So you want attention, I'm going to give you attention. Do you ever do that, call out people like that? Or do you keep it like really respectful?
So it's a thing in the comedy world too. I'm giving y'all the secrets. People have different names for it. I got taught the name. It's called a ninja star. So a ninja star is a joke that you have in the clip that you need for a certain situation, such as a cat caller. In our room, we call them hecklers.
Right.
So if you get, you got something in the clip right there, and you know, who did you come with? You came with him. Oh yeah, I know y'all gonna have a crazy ride back. You were her. Both of y'all drinking the same thing. Oh yeah, I can tell what y'all do when y'all, like, you know, you just, and it's just it's natural. It's nothing that you can, you know, and you have it in a clip, but yeah, it's something that you just eat them up, and once you eat them up, they immediately, when you do it the right way, they immediately get in line and get right with the show. Because if you do it the right way, the rest of the audience wants to enjoy the show too, and then it'll be the audience versus them, and not you versus them.
Yeah. Right. Do you ever do role play characters on stage?
When you see me on stage, man, I'll be every character in my family. I'll be every family member. I'm up to the old school pastor in the church with the. You know, up until the old lady at the DMV, up to the grandmas and the Priuses on the 5, switching lanes too slow. You know, I try to bring, I guess I'm what you would call a physical comedian. So when I'm on stage, right, I make sure that you're where I'm at in my brain.
And I guess, what kind of audiences do you attract?
That's very interesting, because I actually don't, at my young, I'm new in the game, I guess you could say. I'm very new. I'm 5 years in, and that seems like it's a nice amount of time, but the people that you see doing 5 or 10 minutes on, like Jimmy Fallon and late night shows, they're 10 years in. So I don't think that I have a niche or a specific range of an audience.
yet, but I would say that from the shows that I've done, my range has been normally from about 18 to about, I say about 45 to 50. And I tailor it to white, black.
I wasn't really concerned about the number. I was more concerned about like the demographics, the racial makeup.
Well, living in San Diego, as you know, it's black folk, but you know, we in sections. We in spots.
Well, I mean, like, you know,
hey, like, yeah, we in spots. So majority of my audiences have been white. So I've been doing a lot of shows with white crowds, and I'm going to done the black crowds. I would say most of my demographic is going to be youth, black and white, and a little bit of brown in there mixed.
So you have a mixed crowd, mostly because you're where you're at right now, because Indiana's mostly white people,
right? Yeah, that's a ringtones.
and as far as you reaching other audiences, is this about how
yes goes, and right? And if I could be honest, I feel like when you build it, they will come. So I think once that I reach the level where I can touch these different type of people and show them how humanistic. Because my goal at the end of the day is to show that you can come from a negative place and have a positive outcome no matter what the circumstance. And I say that on stage too. And I believe that right. The more human you can reach almost anybody. It doesn't matter age, creed, whatever.
I hope you use one of my songs to your intro or outro. You know what I'm saying? I hope you use one of those.
Yeah, let me know.
In the future. Hey,
you know. I got to show Black History Month, man. Come on, let's do it.
All right, you got it. Hey, where's that show going to be at?
Queen Bee's, which is in North Park. I'm sorry, I don't have the exact address right now. If I exit the app right now, it's going to mess up the recording. So,
Google. But they can go to your website. What's your website?
Again? You want to go to theactivatedpodcast.com. It'll be on there. Follow me personally at RealWalter4. That's Instagram, Twitter, and Snapchat.
Okay, that's, you get that, folks. That's at the Real Walter4.
WALTERFORD. So there's no the, it's just RealWalter4.
Real yes. Walter Ford on Instagram.
2B1. I'm sorry, okay. My bad.
2B1. Sorry about that. 2B1. Okay. Nah, that's okay. Everybody gets it wrong. No. If anything, let's take another short break. Come back with one last segment. We're speaking with Walter Ford all the way out there in Gary, Indiana, on the Burrito Radio Show.
Yeah.
Create, connect, ascend. That's essentially what Violet Funk Creations is all about. And my name is Alyssa. I started Violet Funk. And what we essentially do is make jewelry, paint, do art on clothes, and our Instagram is Violet Funk Creations.
Hey everybody, this is John John from Del Sol Records, and you're listening to the Burrito Radio Show.
Fresh food for the fresh body. What goes in fresh comes out healthy. Be sure to visit your local farmer's market, and trust me, you'll feel much better.
Hey, you guys, we're over here at Marcella June's Coffee Lounge. Our address is 8513 La Mesa Boulevard. We sell herbal medicine and coffee and tea, and we're working on a lot of community projects to get some massage therapy going in with all this. You can reach us at 619-504-9494. We're open Monday through Friday again. Please come on by. Thank you very much.
Hi, this is Terry from Amethyst Moon. We're located at 8329 La Mesa Boulevard. We'd like to remind you that we're open for business and we have new store hours Tuesday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. We'll see you soon.
Have you ever wondered how the pedicab industry got started? You know, the guys and gals that travel people around town? Well, purchase the book Pedicab Hearsay, available on Amazon.com, both electronic and hard copy. Get the stories today.
Is that some house music going on back there? Are you trying to do some TV?
I can check on my grandma real quick. Is it okay if I do?
Yeah.
My bad. Yeah, I was checking on my grandma.
Your grandma?
Sure she was okay.
Does she know she's on the podcast? Okay. Oh, shit. We didn't really hear her, so it's cool. It's cool.
That's the one that gave all your comments. I got to check on her and close the door back, so I was just making sure.
Yeah, it's all good. She's not on there. I'm just messing around. That's the one that gave all the comedy, though.
100%. She and her like, what the hell?
I got you. Hey, Walter, let's talk about some of the current events. Let's talk about this 2020 in a nutshell. Okay, so March 13th, where were you at during that time period, mid-March? And when you got the word that everything was on lockdown?
I was at work, actually. I was at work. The owner of my company, I was working in Fashion Valley at the time. The owner of my company kind of knows people, and he kind of got a little heads up, like, what might be happening. So we had, like, a prerequisite. We kind of had a time. And I was working. And I think it was about 3 o'clock. They told us that the mall had to close at 5, I believe. They said, oh, we're closing the mall early today. Closing at 5, close it up. I think that's what I was selling socks to rich people and racist people in Fashion Valley. That's what I was doing.
Yeah, so, but at the same time, what was your thought process about how everything was like? Do you feel like, you know,
millions of people were going to die? I didn't know. I mean, to be honest with you, I'm a big apocalyptic movie person. So I'm like thinking it's like the Planet of the Apes plus is the Day After Tomorrow plus the Independence Day together. So I'm like, oh, shit. Oh, shit. I didn't know what was going to happen, bro. I'm like, I'm going to be a white girl.
Did you think Godzilla was coming out the Pacific Ocean too?
Well, you don't know if it's that New World Order stuff. I don't know what was going on. So, I ain't gonna lie. I was really nervous. I was really scared. I'm a big believer in health, especially since my mother, you know, her situation. And I went into a lot of research into holistic health to kind of help myself with that anxiety disorder. So.
This is right about the same time.
It was right before that when I started really getting into holistic health. And then as soon as that, it was like, oh, the world is about to end from a virus. I said, oh, shit, give me a green shake. Hurry up.
Hey, okay, so when you got the word that, you know, millions of people are supposed to pass away and all this other stuff, did you take heed to all the instructions, got a lockdown?
I did, but I didn't. Let me do that. Okay, so
I did, as far as I was like, no, I'm not going home. I ain't touching nothing. I bought a whole bunch of sanitizer, all the stuff. But I did fly home like immediately. Like I think what everything closed on the 13th. I think you said the 16th. I left like, yeah.
It was something like that. There was
yeah,
13,
around
14,
here,
15
and
hours.
I think like the 19th, I was on a plane coming to come see my family. Because I didn't know. At the time, you know, my mother had just passed, or she had not just passed away, but my mother had passed away, you know, not too long before that. And I was like, I'm gonna make sure I go see my grandma, make sure I see my family, make sure I go see everybody.
Yeah, you're taking care of your family. You
Exactly.
took go look after them. But in the meantime, so what's your opinion about everything right now?
It's very interesting, man. It's very, we're living in, well, I think that all times live in history, but I think we're living in a historic time in America because all the stuff happening right now, we usually see it on TV and be like, dang, that's over there. That's crazy. You know, like in France and Germany and, you know, all the Libya. And now we're literally in a state where the president of the United States is so dangerous that he has regular people ignoring their health just to prove a point. And I think that it's well, I think a lot of people are lost at these times. And I think that because not just of Trump, but also because of just the culture and the atmosphere of America at the time, mixed on top of a pandemic, it was like a the perfect cocktail for I want to say a reborn consciousness. I, right now in America, because of a pandemic, because of everything going on, people are dying, but the silver lining of everything is that people are now gaining awareness of reality and different realities. I think that people are losing realities as well. So it's a double-edged sword because half the country is like, we need to be healthy. And literally 22 million people that voted for Trump is like, we don't need to wear masks because I know you probably got a white audience. I've seen this white lady say, you're discriminating against me because I don't wear the 1964 Act.
Well, I mean, like, okay, so how can I say this? I took a trip across to the Midwest back in September because I was like, kind of like, wanted to get out of California. I barely leave California. And I had booked a gig in Minneapolis that March, right? And so I ended up doing the gig in Minneapolis, went to Chicago for the first time, went to Gary, went to Columbus,
Oh,
went to
you did
various other places, Atlanta.
the whole trip.
Yeah, I went to Georgia, went to Atlanta, went to Alabama, went to Texas. Each place I went to, it had a whole whatever kind of vibration, like, you know, like you were saying. I'm not gonna say Trump voters. Okay. I'm not gonna say Trump voters. I'm not gonna say whatever. I'm just gonna say some people
Let's
they
just
didn't
say a
worry about the
certain
mask.
paradigm of
And
thinking.
some
Yeah.
people. Yeah, because it's almost like you know, here's the thing. I can like ask you some questions. I don't know if you would know the answer, but there was this would like I always like, you know, like to let people know
Yes,
what's
sir.
going on. You ready?
I'm
Where's
sorry,
my
2B1.
nephew? This is
Dang,
Chief.
man,
Okay.
but Granny whipped that into
That's okay.
me. Granny whipped that
That's
into me.
okay. That's okay.
It's the performance.
It's all comedy, Walter
It's
Ford. It's all comedy. Okay, so question number one. Okay, there was a report document that was done by some Harvard medical students back in 2015, 2016. Do you know anything about that report? It was done by two medical on infected droplets, my fault. Infected
I
droplets.
vaguely, vaguely, vaguely I do. And I believe that they was at the this research study where they were pretty much anticipating a pandemic, like after like the end of the result was they.
Well, this is the first time anything ever has been really documented. I mean, there's a couple of them, exactly. But this is the first main one. Back in 2015, exactly. 2016, that they came up with something called infected droplets theory from a computer module that said these infected droplets can travel up to 26 feet to cause like somebody to get sick and possibly spread a virus. Now, this is 4 years before. No, that's 4 years ago, about 4 or 5 years ago. But you don't really know that
like
too
I
much.
Like I said, I know vague, right? A little bit of information, but no, I'm not too versed on it.
Yeah. Okay. So not only did they come up with these things called infected droplets that appeared to be, it's supposed to be like a mist, right? That come out your mouth, okay? They come out your mouth or your nose. According to some of these people who are saying this, and it transfers into somebody else's mouth and nose, and they're supposed to get this virus. That's the purpose of wearing a mask, correct? But at the same time, here's a good one. Okay, do you know anything about saliva or the saliva glands? Okay, so then if you do know that if a saliva has moisture in its mouth. Most of that is water. The other portion of those are really protecting for your teeth to wash away all this nasty stuff that we eat in our gums, and our teeth, all the saliva. That's what the saliva is meant for, is to protect our teeth, exactly. Not to harm our teeth.
Yes, yes. Now, I knew that.
You knew that already, though. Okay. So saliva is not bad. You're not supposed to spit because it's, like, really nasty, but it's not bad for our own bodies because it gives everything away. So, but a dry mouth, one that has very little saliva, actually is more susceptible to a bacteria or a virus.
No, I did know that.
You did not know that. So being dehydrated, you're being having more chance of 100%. Getting bacteria and a virus. Okay. Okay, so now the third one would be this, is that if the droplets can travel up to 26 feet, if you know you're saying a hydrated mouth is really good for you, not the opposite. Why are we promoting things that make us dehydrated, or why are we not locking down these things that make us dehydrated, or why aren't the animals themselves who are not immune, they're mammals too, to something that's in the air? Why aren't these animals getting this virus?
Now, that's a very good question. Now, as far as the promoting things that give you a dry mouth, now that part, I think that's money, because it's a weird balance of, and I try to look at it from this standpoint too. It's a weird balance of economics and I don't know what the other word I'm looking for, like socioeconomical decision making, I guess, because.
Oh, I had an argument with a friend of mine. I give him props. He's a super, like, one of the most smartest people I've ever known. But we were arguing because I said they're going to make so much money back in March. And he's like, who? Because he was one of these people who got infected, you know, not infected, but he was, he lost, exactly. You know, his way to make money. And so I told him, I said, there's going to be a lot of money people going to be making. He said, nah, man. Nobody's gonna be making money. I said no, and we were arguing to the point where I just had to leave. I was like, you know, I got, and I just feel like people are not really researching enough. So I bring up those things to kind of bring up this. Okay, what the one thing that I discovered during all this time period from the time in March till December is that we have something called central nervous system.
Yep, that's controlling everything. Yes, sir. That's the switchboard to the life. That's the body. That's the control switch.
Right. So pretty much it's neurological because it's what connects the brain and the spine to bring all, transferring all the signals. Okay? So neurologically speaking, this is my reasoning why people are getting ill and sick. It has nothing to do with being contagious. And if they keep on saying it's contagious, it's never going to go away because it's been misdiagnosed from the get-go for political purposes, for monetary gain, for control patterns, for like people like to believe whatever they want to believe.
Exactly.
You have to know what you know.
And that's what I like to go off of.
Okay. So neurologically speaking, we are exposed to a lot of these machines and monitors and things that make our central nervous system go out of whack to the point where it can do various things, such as make somebody super sick, not breathe, not be able to have any type of taste. The same symptoms as
they're saying. I can see that. You opened my brain to something new. Do you agree that every person has an electromagnetic field?
No. Here's what I say, okay? What I'm thinking is this, is that our central nervous system sends out signals that are the truth. Okay? So if I'm a workaholic, right? I like to work out. And I'm going to say I want to be the fastest person in the world. You can say all you want that you can be the fastest person in the world, but your central nervous system is going to transform whatever information that to your body for your body to be able to do whatever it can do.
Exactly. No, I agree with that.
And so, therefore, by wrecking our central nervous system, it is causing a lot of neurological problems that's causing us these things that are happening right now as we speak in a mass number of form all around with people with technology.
I like that. So do you think it's like the 5G thing, or are you saying that it's monitors in general?
So just computers, monitors, internet,
Wi-Fi?
Well, here's what happens, okay? You take a computer room in an office, a person has a lot of money, have a lot of computers. How cold is that room to make sure the computers don't overheat? How much do the fans have to run to make sure that the computer doesn't overheat, whether it has an air conditioner or not? So because the computer breaks off heat, that heat has to be transformed and pushed somewhere. Now, if you have, let's say, somebody at home, and they're super cold all the time because they're dehydrated all the time.
Right?
Going back to dehydration, this can cause a mechanism for somebody to fall ill, especially if they like the warm. If they don't have no escape for this heat that's coming in. So if you have the escape, even if you do, it can still affect you neurologically because of the electromagnetic waves that travel from the light of the television,
or the microwave,
TV, or the cell phone, whatever, to the
body. I can agree with that. I can agree with that. I can't challenge that too much because I do believe I don't know if it's to the extent of causing us injury. I'm going to look into that. I really like that theory. I like that idea. Or not injury, but illness, I guess you could say, or susceptibility to illness. I do think that it affects us. Like, it can affect.
Well,
because too much of anything is bad. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no way it doesn't. Everything counts. Yeah.
Well, like I said, back in 2002, I came across this word. It's called yttrium. Okay? It's spelled yttrium. And this word is pretty much a part of a series called rare earth elements. Okay? And these elements, they do have radioactive poisonous material that can cause a lot of problems in the human body if exposed. And where do they do the major mining to these metals? China, Korea, Japan, all these countries in a certain area of the where they are plentiful. These metals are plentiful. And they've been taking and making products, and they take them to the labs and make these products and been pushing out these products for the last 40 years. And because of that, that's the reason why, in my opinion, that's why we have a lot of neurological problems.
Because a lot of people, there's way more illnesses now than, I mean, not more. Well, I actually, it is more. Yeah. Now than before.
So that's why I know It's not even, I don't even guess anymore. I know that this is a neurological situation. And due to our lifestyle. Now, I'm not going to escape myself. I use a cell phone. I watch TV. This can happen to me too.
Yep.
I can get sick, right? But I'm not going to blame it on like a person or a kiss or whatever, because saliva is a protectant and it can't be infected unless it's dry. And if it's dry, you don't have to worry about that, because your body's going to let you know.
Exactly. So you're saying it's a mixture. Yeah.
So most people that do drugs, most people that drink beer, alcohol, most people drink coffee, sodas, milk, anything other than water or some type of hydration electrolyte is going to make you dehydrated.
Bing! And you just blew my mind, bro. Problem. You ever watch Jimmy Neutron? I just had a brain blast.
you just pushed
my lining back 2 inches, bro. My forehead just got bigger from that.
I've done a lot of research, Walter Ford, and my business is hurting from it's kind of selfish in a way, but not really. My business is hurting from this COVID thing. I'm not going to lie, right? I'm probably going to lose my business if something doesn't change soon. But I already knew what was going down when in March. I already knew it. And I was one of the early people that was calling this a hoax. Like, yeah, whatever. I already know what it is. It's overexposure. But I didn't have the root of what caused everything. Mm-hmm. I didn't know about the central nervous system. I didn't know about the saliva. I didn't know about this report that these infected droplets came out back in 2015 out of nowhere from a computer module.
Yeah, not from actual
people doing it. Not from an actual person saying, I got this thing. It's coming out. It came from a computer module, like as if they put in some crazy formula to cause this computer module to say infected droplets travel like 26 feet, up to 26 feet. Without worrying about the wind, without worrying about like the weather, climate, you know what I'm saying? Can pass through the 60 mile per hour wind.
Exactly.
You know, just keep on going.
It just don't make any sense. Yeah.
You know, and I already knew.
It's so interesting, man, like especially now, because I think in our day and age, that information age is a blessing and a curse, because what you just said is researchable so easily, because we just pick up our phone, right? Like we talked about. But it's also so much other stuff out there that is just, I can't remember the word exactly. It's a word where you just put so much information out there that nobody knows what is the truth. And I think that's being perpetuated right now.
Yeah. Those are campaigns going on, live campaigns going on for the people that are really fixing the game.
I agree with that.
It's all a fix. It's the fix game.
It's a long game.
Trust me. Yeah. No, it's just something to look at. Like I said, I'm not trying to blow your mind. I'm just kind of yield to what is out there. That is the truth. That is facts. These are things that I highly consider the reasoning for it. It's almost like somebody yesterday told me, it's like, man, you should eat a lot of oranges. But literally, if you knew anything about oranges, those are medicine. That's medicine. That's instant medicine if you get organic oranges.
Not with no
the stuff
seeds
that they take
in,
out.
No.
The nutrients from the store. Yeah. Not that. Yeah, the ones that are organic. The ones that come from California.
Yeah.
Right? Right. The groves. Yeah. There's orange groves all day long. So, but this person who is not misinformed, thinking that, something's going to happen to your stomach or something's going to happen to you because I've been told not to eat that many oranges. Because why? Because they don't want you to be healthy in order to go see them and say, no, we'll take
care of
you.
We'll give you some type of pill. Another medicine, and it's going to need it. And in saying that, I'm not taking away people who have to take medicine.
Right, and it's all about money. Turn on the TV right now. How many medical commercials are you going to see within an hour or
and
2 hours
how many commercials
of watching
see
any program that you're watching?
Meditation or sea moss.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, people, I mean, like, like I said, I'm just one person out here, 2B1 energy, out here trying to express it without worrying about getting paid. I don't need to worry about getting paid. I mean, yeah, I do worry about getting paid, but I'm talking about this information. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to worry about getting paid for having this information. You know, that type of thing. So, Walter, you said you have a show coming up out there in during Black History Month in February. Where's it going to be?
Black Lives Laughter. It's going to be at the Queen Bee's Multicultural Center. That's in North Park. North Park in San Diego.
You're talking about North Park in San Diego, right? Are you doing any shows out there in Indiana or Chicago?
I don't know if it might be passed by the time this comes out. It's going to be tomorrow, December 11th. That's the first Black Lives Laughter show. It's going to be in Indiana.
Are you doing live streams so somebody can catch you on recording?
But it's going to be, I'm recording it and there are going to be clips available, but it's not going to be the whole thing because I am going to be recording for the future for television. So some of those jokes will be on television. So I don't want to put them all out there yet.
Right, right. Okay, so time, give the people your website, Walter.
TheActivatedPodcast.com. The Activated Podcast is on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. We're also on YouTube. Please subscribe. We just went over 500,000 views on YouTube. Thank you, everybody. We're live streaming. Thank you for that.
Hey, congratulations on that. I think I got 42. I got 42 views.
Hey, we started, though, bro. Hey, we started at 12. Don't feel bad.
We're doing it. Hey, I like to thank my guest, Walter Ford, on the Burrito Radio Show. Definitely nice to get to know another young souls out there really climbing it and uplifting others through his artwork. Any last words for the people out
there,
Walter?
Shout out Burrito Radio Show. Thank you, 2B1 Energy, man. I feel like I've learned more from you in the past 2-3 days than the past 5 people I've met and known them from years. So thank you for that. Appreciate all the listeners. One thing I want to say, you can do anything you literally put your mind to, and that's super cliche, but you are what you repeatedly do. Literally. That's all I got to say. One more thing. You're still alive.
Right on with the right on. Go ahead. be sure to tune in to Walter Ford. Check out one of his routines. He's definitely a up-and-coming artist. One more time, y'all. We'll give it up for Walter Ford. This is the Burrito Radio Show. Until next time, keep it on the oneness of Yahweh.
It's still one motion, so ride the wave of life.